Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Okay, if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew 21. If you haven't got your Bible, you can repent and bring it next time, which will be the proof of your repentance. Verse 28. This is a very short parable, but I think it's one of the most powerful ones that Jesus ever taught. A man had two sons. He told one, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "No, I will not," he answered. But he changed his mind later and went and did as his father had said. Then the father gave the same order to his other son. He answered, "Certainly, sir, I will go." But he never went. Now, which of the two sons obeyed his father? "The first," they answered. So Jesus said to them, "I tell you this truth most emphatically. Crooked tax collectors and prostitutes are entering God's kingdom ahead of you, self-righteous leaders. John came to show you the way of true righteousness, but you refused to believe what he said. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes who recognized their need of forgiveness did believe him. Even though you saw what was happening, still you refused to repent and believe the message he brought from God." That's just the context in which Jesus was preaching this little parable. God's got a very, very simple message for us this morning, but it has profound consequences in our lives if we put into action what Jesus is saying. He wants to talk to us about intention. One of the big deceptions that even Christians can be guilty of is to think that it is good enough to have the right intention. But if you intend to love someone, you still haven't loved them until you perform whatever actions are necessary to demonstrate that love. So it's no use saying, "Well, I intended to love," or "I meant to love, but I didn't get round to it for one reason or another." And you can apply that same principle to a whole lot of things. How many times during perhaps even the course of a week you say to yourself, "Oh, I intended to do whatever, but I never got round to doing it." How often is an opportunity given to you to love, to give, to bless, to serve, and at the time when it was put before you, just like Life Discovery, which is ministry that has gone out of this church for several years now, but how often can we hear something like that and say, "Yes, well, I intend to do something," but you don't do it? If you think for a moment about giving financially or giving in any other way. If you intend to give a gift, you haven't done anything until you actually make the gift. Now, when I was young, there was a saying that was commonly going around. It's not a word of scripture, but it says, "The road to hell is paved with good intentions." Well, we don't want to preach about going to hell, But that does help us to see that good intentions are virtually meaningless unless they actually lead to action. So when Jesus was talking about reward, and we know here salvation and reward are distinct, we're saved by the grace of God alone, but on the day of judgment, Jesus says, each one will be rewarded according to what he has done. Not according to what he intended to do, but never got round to doing it. Each one will be rewarded according to what he has done. Some people even congratulate themselves for having the right intention or a good intention. Well, at least I meant well, or I intended to do it, as if, you know, you've got some kind of award from the Lord. Well, my heart had the right intention. But to God, the right intention is nothing until it gives way to the right action. So obviously, it's good to have the right intention, but only if it's going to lead to action. So what is obedience? Obedience is having the right intention that is then put into action. So knowing what the will of God is does not actually produce any fruit until his will is put into practice. So, for example, Jesus gives the disciples this new command. You are to love one another as I have loved you. And then he explains what that means. That to love others as he has loved us means that you lay down your life for your friends. You live for others instead of yourself. Now, certainly all of us who belong to Kingdom Faith are very familiar with this command. We know it is the new command that Jesus gave to go along with the new covenant. Covenant is always built around command from God. So the new covenant says, yes, you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself, but you also love one another and therefore live for one another by laying down your life for your friends. Now, we can know that is the will of God, that is the word of God, that is the truth. But knowing it doesn't do it. Even saying, well, I intend to do it, doesn't do it. Obedience is doing it, is actually responding to what Jesus says. Now, many of the promises, nearly all the promises, really, in Scripture that God gives us are attached to commands. Even his desire to give us salvation is dependent upon repentance and faith. This is what Jesus makes clear. Therefore, those who have not repented and have not put their faith in Jesus as the Son of God do not have salvation. So, if we don't fulfill the commands, we don't see the fulfillment of the promises. Now, Jesus said that if we continue in his word and his word continues to live in us, lives in us, then we can ask whatever we wish and it will be given us. But the word that is used in the Greek there is not the word logos for the unchangeable word of God, but rhema, which means really the spoken word of God, what God speaks to us at any particular time. So it's no use saying, well, such and such is in the word, and I believe it, and I can't understand why God hasn't done it. Are we obeying what God is speaking to us in that situation at that time? Because that's actually what Jesus is saying. Yes, we believe the word of God, we believe the promises of God, but you see, in any situation where we're placed, the Holy Spirit will be speaking to us, and therefore it's important for us to respond to what he's saying, not just to have an intention of doing so, but actually doing what he says. Then Jesus says, when that is the case, you can have whatever you wish in the name of Jesus. Why? Because you're responding, putting into action what he is saying. You're doing it. Not just hearing it, not just intending to do something, but you're actually putting it into practice. Now, being the kind of human beings we are, when we intend to do things but don't do them, we tend to make excuses. Oh, well, I meant to do it, but I didn't have time. I intended to pray, but it got crowded out by other things. But at least I had the intention. Well, the intention to pray isn't the same as praying, is it? Any believers in the room? So we're very good at this kind of excusing of ourselves. Oh, well, I meant to do that thing that I said but for someone else, but I never got round to it. Why not? You see, unfulfilled intention leads to broken promises. If we say to someone that we intend to do it, then as believers, we better do it. Because whatever God says he intends to do, he does. He's not a man that he would lie. He wouldn't deceive us. He wouldn't say he's going to do something and then not do it. Although, as we've just seen, sometimes there are conditions attached to the promises that he gives. But God is always faithful in doing what he says. He keeps his word. He abides by his word. He's not a man that he would lie, nor does he take back the words that he's spoken. So, it's for us to be like him, to be like Jesus, not to give false promises that we don't intend to keep or would be impossible to keep. But when we make promises to others, they need to know you are going to do it, or I am going to do it. That something of the faithfulness of Jesus is being reflected in our lives. God is a God of perfect timing. Everything that he does is according to his predetermined will. He does not make up his will as we go along. He does not make up his will for your life on a daily basis. When he called you, chose you, set you apart, made you his child, he had his purpose already determined for the rest of your life. Now, he doesn't force you to fulfill that purpose. He doesn't force me to fulfill that purpose. Sometimes we can be walking in that purpose. Sometimes we can depart from it, in which case God, in his loving mercy and compassion, doesn't judge us and condemn us. He waits for us to come back to his purpose. But he will never change that purpose. He does not change his purpose according to what we want or our desires. It's for us to fit in with his purpose. So we could say, Lord, I want your purpose for my life. That sounds like a good intention. God's answer to that is, in that case, you will do what I say. That actually obedience is consistently making the right choices. You see, so often when something is put before us and we respond with the right intention, there are alternatives. And when that intention is not put into practice, it's because we've chosen one of the alternatives instead. At that point, we have got outside of the best and perfect will of God. Doesn't judge us, doesn't condemn us. In his love, compassion, mercy, he waits patiently for us to come back to his purpose. And when we come back to his purpose, then we're restored to that place of peace and joy, freedom. Whereas when we've stepped outside of that purpose, there's no peace. There's not that joy. We've lost that edge of joy, that bubbling joy in our lives, the joy of our salvation. Doesn't mean we're not saved, it's just that we're not enjoying it at that moment. Because we're not enjoying the Lord, because actually there's an issue between us. We're not doing as he said. So we can have this intention, Lord, I want to glorify you, I want to praise you, I want to bless you in my life, I want to bear much fruit for your glory, I want to fulfill the destiny that you have for me. Good intentions. But the good intentions in and of themselves do not lead to an obedient life or to the fruit that God intends for each of the children that he has called to belong to him. If the tree is good, the fruit will be good, Jesus said. And you will know the tree by the fruit that it bears. So how far you are fulfilling the intention that God has for you, in other words, you put his intention into practical action, will determine the fruitfulness in your life and therefore how much God is actually being glorified in your life. Are we all at the same meeting? It's a very simple message, isn't it? That intentions are nothing, no matter how good they are, until they result in positive action. So Jesus says, not by your intentions you will be known, but by your fruit. And Jesus said, on the day of judgment, there will be no reward for your intentions, only for what you have done. So it's great to aspire for the reformation that God wants in his church, to see a move of the Spirit that is going to bring revival to God's people, and then to have impact upon the society around us. But that is only going to be realized when we're not just having revival as an intention or reformation as an intention, but we actually do what God is telling us to do in order that his purpose for reformation and revival can actually take place. Because, you see, nothing in God's purposes will ever be fulfilled outside of what he has planned. You will never cause God, you will never persuade God to do anything that he doesn't want to do and that he hasn't planned to do. Faith is coming into line with God's word, God's will, God's plan, God's purpose, believing what he says, and trusting in the Holy Spirit to make the good intentions a reality. And this is where we're totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Because you see, the Holy Spirit will keep reminding us, Jesus says, of all that Jesus has said and done. In other words, he'll keep speaking to us that which will create in us the right intentions. But the Holy Spirit doesn't stop there, because then he says, now my power is available to you to enable you to put this intention into practice. So it's not enough to say, the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord said, boom, 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 boom. Okay, that's the first part of the Holy Spirit's activity, but the second part is the Holy Spirit saying, right now, I will enable you to do what you've heard. Are we all at the same meeting here? So, this is a good word. I know it's a good word because I had a very unusual meeting with God a few days ago, even before actually I knew that I would be preaching this morning, and it was almost as if he gave me this sermon for this morning. I just knew he was speaking to me so that in my life I don't just have intentions that I don't fulfill. Because we can hear God and say, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And then a few days later, if you keep a prayer diary, like I do, you know, I go back over my prayer diary every week, and I see that God has repeated something three or four times during the week. Why did he need to do that? Because I didn't do it the first time he said. And I might have had the right intention, but he's saying, Colin, the right intention isn't enough. I'm calling you to action, not intention. Are we there?
Yes.
Can you say that? Action, not intention. It's quite easy to remember, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So, we need very practical ways to remember that we're putting the Word of God into practice. Now, I'm going to have to take my glasses off for this, and I'm going to get you to do it in a minute, and if you wear glasses, you'll have to take your glasses off. Because a very, very simple thing God has been getting me to do in recent times. Just watch this. Godly eyes, godly ears, godly mouth, godly mind, godly heart, godly life. You can make adjustments, holy eyes, holy ears, holy mouth, holy brain or mind, holy heart, holy life, loving eyes, loving ears, loving mouth, loving mind, loving heart, loving life. Now, is that going to speak of intention? or of something that then becomes reality. Action. Fruitfulness. Can we all stand? And if you have glasses, just take them off. I'm tempted to say you'd look even more beautiful without my glasses on than with the glasses on. Can we first, before we do this, just close our eyes for a moment? I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit to call to mind now anything that he's been saying in relation to him, to relation to God, or in relation to others that he's asked you to do, that he's wanted you to do, even commanded you to do. And you've said yes, but you haven't done it. You've had the right intention, but the intention hasn't been put into practice. Might be a practical thing, like you've needed to go onto a diet and you're always on tomorrow's diet. It never starts today, it's always going to start tomorrow. An intention that needs to become a reality for your health's sake. It can be a very practical thing like that. It can be other specific things that God has been speaking to you about. A person that you need to witness to or to serve in some way or to love or to be reconciled with. And you kept saying, yes, I must do something about that. Yes, I really intend to do something about that. You might have made excuses, well, it hasn't had the right opportunity, or it hasn't seen the right timing, or well, I don't know that it's for me to do. What about the other person? They need to take the initiative. God, Jesus didn't die for your excuses, he died for your sins. So Lord, forgive our excuses, please. Forgive all our unfulfilled intentions. If any of us have had evil intentions, sinful intentions, we've planned things that are utterly selfish and outside of your will, please forgive us. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you that he shows us your will, reminds us of your word, gives us the good intentions, the right intentions. But Father, help each one of us to depend upon your Holy Spirit, to turn those good intentions into good actions, to actually do what you say and not just intend to do what you say. Lord, we realize that deferred obedience is actually disobedience. Thank you that when you speak to us, you speak with all the authority of the one who is the Lord of heaven and earth. And it's not for us to deny what you say. So we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you wash us clean from all the failures of the past, from all the excuses that we've made, from thinking that we're really rather good for having good intentions, even though they haven't been realized. Thank you, Lord, that all that stuff is put behind us now. And that we're starting a new chapter this morning of seeing all the good intentions being realized and becoming action that produces fruit. So we bless you, Lord. Now help us, Lord, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. You tell us that the eyes are the light of the body. So, Lord, we want to use our eyes in a godly way, so that we can be really attentive and responsive to what we hear from you in your word and by your spirit. We want godly hearing, so that we're not listening to gossip and rubbish and all the foul things that can be said and go on in the world around us. Godly eyes and godly hearing. Thank you, Lord, that you teach us that our mouths are like the rudder of the ship, our tongues are like the rudder of the ship that steers the course of our lives. So we want godly mouths, godly speaking, speaking your truth, speaking in love, seeing that our hearts, as your scripture says, our hearts are like gold and our tongues are like silver. A fountain of life that speaks life into other people's lives. Thank you, Lord, for renewed minds, where we're not planning things that are in opposition to your will and purpose, but our minds are renewed and in line with your mind, with your thinking. And above all, Lord, we thank you for hearts. Those new hearts that you have given us, a heart after your own heart, a heart that loves as you love and enables us to believe and have the faith of which you speak. So we praise your holy name. Now, would you join with me in just doing this little exercise? I think you'll find it'll help you in your prayer times. Just your eyes first. Godly eyes. Godly ears. Godly mouth. Godly mind. Godly heart. Godly life. Let's do it with holy, shall we? Holy eyes. Holy ears, holy mouth, holy mind, holy heart, holy life. And with love, loving eyes, loving ears, loving mouth, loving mind, loving heart, loving life. Hallelujah. Just be still for a moment. There's just a precious anointing now. Just sense that anointing flowing over your life. We anointed Penny with physical oil, but of course the Holy Spirit was doing a work. Well, the oil of the Spirit is just pouring upon you now to enable you to turn this message into life, into practice, into fruitfulness. Just receive that precious anointing now. And just know this, when your eyes aren't right, even just momentarily, you're looking at something that is darkness rather than light. God doesn't judge you, doesn't condemn you. He's just waiting for you to come back to using your eyes in the right way. Same with your ears. If you find yourself listening to something that is not right, not true, not edifying, God doesn't judge you, doesn't condemn you. He says, well, shut that stuff off and just listen to what I'm saying. If you find yourself being drawn into a conversation where you're saying things that are not edifying and glorifying to the Lord, stop it. Ask his forgiveness and know that he hasn't judged you, he hasn't condemned you. He's just waiting for you to use your mouth in the right way. If you have wrong thoughts, and every one of us here will have wrong thoughts before next Sunday, if not before lunch today, God does not judge you and condemn you. He just says, well, just get your thinking in line with my thinking, your heart in line with my heart, and your life will be in line with my life. So, Lord, we thank you. I thank you for your loving patience, your loving kindness with me. As you teach these things, Lord, and I want to see them all fulfilled in my life, not just as intention, but reality. And I thank you for all my dear brothers and sisters here. Thank you, Lord, you've drawn us together into a body where you are going to put all this into action, so we are going to see a wonderful move of God in these coming months, because we're going to be acting in obedience, not just having the intention to do it, but we're going to do what you say in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.